Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 13. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth knoweth what in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Then the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig tree leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. Pretty sad, isn't it? They hid themselves from God. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. Listen to this. And I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let's pray. Lord, right now, I pray your will. I pray, God, that you'll touch and speak to hearts here tonight. God, that you'll come and approach each one of us here. Hallelujah. Wanting to know, God, if we know where we are at. God, I pray your will right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. Where are you? Where are you? And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? You see, after Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they knew they were naked because they fell from God's grace. So, in other words, what we're talking about here tonight is conviction. You ever feel that sometimes? When you're afraid because you knew you didn't do what was right. You did something wrong and you're nervous. After Adam and Eve ate that, they of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they knew they were naked because they fell from God's grace. And they understood they sinned. And they knew they were naked because they were no longer clothed in God's glory. God came down, walked through the garden, and said, Adam, where are you? God knew, folks, understand me tonight. God knew exactly where Adam was. He was asking Adam where he was because he wanted Adam to know where Adam was. Amen? Adam was no longer in God's grace. Did Adam know truly where Adam was? Think about it. Did Adam know where he was? Adam, folks, had chosen to obey God, or Adam had a choice. He could obey God or he could obey Eve. Make sure I have some water, brother. Help me, Lord. Eve was deceived by Satan. Adam was deceived by Eve. You see, he listened to Eve when he should have listened to God. Do you know where you are tonight, folks? Do you know where you are? Jesus knows where you are right now. And he is asking tonight, where are you? And understand, God knows where you are. And guess who else knows where you are? Satan knows where you are. Satan, the Bible says, he roams the earth looking to whom he can deceive and to destroy. Now, let me ask you, how many of you think this world is messed up? Come on. Majority of us here. Some of you wouldn't raise your hand if we paid you $100. How many of you think there is something terribly wrong with the way things are? One of the most amazing things to me is that as far as I know, this world, it is all I've ever known. Come on. It's all I know is this world. I've never lived on Mars. I've never lived on the moon. All I know is this world. That's it. I was born into this world. I don't ever, never remember not existing. I don't remember anything before the time I was born, but I can say this. This world is messed up. Amen? Isn't that weird? You see, I can't imagine not existing. In any event, I think it's very interesting that we, you and I, can say that this life is messed up, or that it's strange, or whatever, folks, when we don't know anything different. I mean, it's messed up compared to what? Come on. It's strange compared to what? There is something in us that realizes that our present condition is not the way things are supposed to be. There is evil in the world. We hurt one another with our words. We hurt one another with our actions. We kill one another. Our relationships become strained, and there is something else missing, something much bigger, folks. You see, down through the ages, people have called it a God-shaped void. It is hard to put our finger on it, but we know it is there. The relationship we are ultimately created to enjoy is blurred. It is broken. The very reason that we are created has been damaged. And so we float like a ship with no sail, drifting out into sea. And we have no foundation, nothing of substance grounding us. Can you relate to this tonight? Have you ever felt lost? Have you ever felt broken? Have you ever felt as if there's something missing in your life? Have you ever felt alone? Do you feel that way right now? You see, folks, God created us to be in a relationship. Amen? In a relationship with God and in a relationship with one another. That's why we do the small groups. If you aren't a part of a small group, you need to be. Your pastor would like you to be. It's because God has made us to be in relationships with him and with each other. And it is a relationship of trust, a relationship of love. It is a relationship where there is no reason to feel afraid of the other. Come on. It's a relationship of complete, unconditional love. And that unconditional love, folks, is not something that we have to work at. It's just there. You see, we were made for God. Amen? You believe that tonight? He said he created everything for his pleasure. For his pleasure we were made. We were made for God. We were made for one another. But we were also, folks, given a free will. You see, God didn't create a bunch of robots. What would be the point of that? What would be the point? God didn't have any interest in creating a bunch of robots. God created humankind, you and me, for an eternal relationship. When God created us, he created Adam and Eve. They were made to live forever. A love relationship that goes forever. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Listen to this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You see, and God put us in a beautiful, beautiful garden. And everything, the Bible says, was good. We could completely and totally enjoy creation. We could do anything that we wanted to. There was just one thing that God, one thing that we were not allowed to do, and that was to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Sadly, we did that one thing. And when we did, evil was given a foothold. We opened the door to who? The devil. See, when we disobey, we open the door to the devil. In Genesis 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they were suddenly aware of things that they had never before been aware of. You see, thoughts and ideas entered into their mind. Thoughts and ideas that they don't even know, that they didn't even know existed. They had lost what? Their innocence. And suddenly, things started getting wacky in their lives. And things were in turmoil in their lives. Then they heard a voice of God walking in the garden. And listen to me, folks. This is something. The Bible says he was walking in the cool of the day, just like he had always done before. There's nothing new. Here comes God, just like he did the day before. Here comes God, like he did a month ago. Here comes God, like he did every day. They knew what to expect him. And you know what they did? Something they've never done before. They hid. They ran for cover. Now remember, when you were a little kid, and you saw your mom and dad, or you saw your grandparents, and whoever it was, and it was just the greatest thing in the world, and you would go running to them and jump in their arms, and there was all kinds of excitement. Remember those days? That's how it had always been for Adam and Eve and God. Oh, God, it's so good to see you. They probably ran to him every day and hugged him and walked with him and laughed and had a good time. That's how it had always been for Adam and Eve and God. But now, suddenly, things changed. Now, instead of being excited to have God show up, they became afraid. It was a horrible thing, folks. Now, instead of running into God's arms, they ran away. feel like that sometimes? When you know you should be worshiping God, when you know you should be in the house of God, you go the opposite direction. You do the opposite thing. What happened to that loving, exciting relationship? Where did it go? When you knew you could count on God every day in your life, and all of a sudden, you're running away from the things of God. Where are you? Where are you? Instead of running into God's arms, you run away. And folks, we as a human species have been running ever since the garden. It is the moment in history when fear enters into the relationship between God and mankind. We were never supposed to be afraid of God. Never. We were never supposed to be afraid of the one who loves us more than we could ever imagine. We were never supposed to be afraid of the one who wants to go for a walk with us. What a sad, sad moment in time. Genesis 3, verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I ask you tonight, folks, where are you? Can you imagine the sorrow and the pain that God experienced at that moment when he couldn't find those he loved? Have you ever lost track of somebody? Maybe you got lost. Maybe you were a little kid and you got lost and separated from your parents at a crowd, at a mall, at an amusement park, whatever it may be. That is a scary feeling. And so what do? You start to panic as you go looking for your loved one and you're calling out their name. Or maybe you are a parent and you know the feeling of losing sight of your child only for a second. It makes your heart skip a beat. You see, there's almost nothing more upsetting in the world. And I think that is how God felt in the garden. And then when God found the man and he found the woman, and they were hiding from him, and they were afraid of him, even though he had never done anything to hurt them. Talk about a heartbreaking situation, folks. And so when God finds the man and the woman, he's like, what is going on? Genesis 3, verse 10 says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And you know what God says? Who told you you were naked? The loss of innocence. A relationship broken. A heartbroken father. Notice, folks, that God did not give up on man and woman. And though God went looking for them, even though they were hiding, and God looked and looked for them until he found them. And God is doing the same thing right now. We hide from God, don't we? We hide because we don't trust the unconditional love that God has for us. We don't believe that we are good enough for God's love. Amen? We think God is like some mean old Santa Claus making a list, and he's checking it twice. And because we have been naughty, we're in big trouble. But that is not who God is at all, folks. God loves us. God created us to be in a relationship with him. Amen. And so God came to this earth in the form of man, and he died for us in order to show us how much he loves us. And when, folks, if we believe this, and when and if we believe this, we can be saved. We can be victorious. Amen. Have you ever broken a bone or something? Anybody here ever broke a bone? Few of you broke a bone. Let me tell you something. If you break an arm, if you break a leg, and the doctor saves that arm or that leg by putting it back together. My brother, when he was about, my youngest brother, Daniel, when he was about 10 years old, 11, we was playing football, and we just piled on him. I mean, a bunch of us heathens, and we heard that femur bone smack, break, and almost came through his leg. And the doctor had to put him in this traction, pull it apart, and put it back together. You see, when the doctor saves your arm or your leg, and he puts it back together in a cast, and then comes the time of healing. The leg was saved, but then there comes a time, while it's in that cast, comes a time of healing. Do you know what the devil likes to do? He likes to beat you over the head. You're a Christian. You gave your life to God, and look at you, you're messing up. No, you're in a time of healing. Folks, we got to give ourselves time for healing instead of beating ourselves up. It's a time of healing. It's the same with our relationship with God. When God comes to us and we allow Him to save us, it's like God puts a cast on our brokenness. Where were you before you came to God? You need a time of healing. And God wants you to have that healing in that relationship with Him. Time of healing begins. And that is the beginning of our Christian journey. It's a journey where we learn to walk all over again. You sometimes in those breaks, you got to learn how to walk. And that's all God wants out of us. Give your best. Sometimes it's painful. But He wants you to just give your best to Him. You're in a relationship, and there's brokenness that is being healed. You see, the more we walk with God, and the longer we are in a relationship, the better life gets. The more things in our lives become bright as we walk, we fall deeper and deeper in love with God, and deeper in love with other people in our lives. So, life's messed up, right? Let's stand. Hear me, folks. Life's messed up. Is it? Where are you? Let me tell you something. It doesn't have to be messed up. Your life doesn't have to be messed up. You see, we can allow God to find us tonight.